Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Hawken Cade of Hook Online and RentBoy.com, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That with Tina Horn.
Welcome to the 28th episode of Why Are People Into That, the podcast that puts the fun between your legs. I'm your host, Tina Horn. And today's guest is Poppy Cox, the creative director of the planet's only bicycle-themed touring porno film festival, Bike Smutch. Need a new dildo, powerful vibrator, organic lube, ethical porn? Smitten Kitten is the best place for all this shopping and more. Smitten Kitten is the exclusive sponsor of this podcast, and they continue to offer a special discount to Why Are People Into That listeners. Visit smittenkittenonline.com and enter the code YWHY during checkout to get 20% off your order. Hi, I have a book out. It's called Love Not Given Lightly, Profiles from the Edge of Sex, Porn Stars, Perverts, Femdoms, Rent Boys, and Other Professional Lovers. It's about queer porn, psychedelic hooker dreams, and what to eat after a spanking. Buy it now at an indie bookstore near you. In her interview with me about the book in Dame Magazine, which you can read online, Rachel Kramer-Bussell said, quote, "A keen, objective observer, Horn reports not with a message or a mission or a single life-changing realization, but with the goal of digging beneath the sensationalism to uncover the uniqueness behind these professional lovers. What sets it apart is the way Horn reflects on her domination for money past, applies a journalist's eye and a poet's flair for language with the very wording she uses to describe the heart of her tome, love." So, grease your gears and tighten your derailleur. For why are people into bicycles? Hi, Poppy Cox.
Hi.
Thanks for coming over. I first, before we say anything else, I just want to clarify for our listeners. There are two Poppy Coxes out there in the world, as I'm sure you're aware.
I'm totally aware.
So there's Poppy Cox, a.k.a. Ignacio Rivera, who has also been a guest on this show last season, talking about squirting, which is...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I listened to that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really... It's a good one. I listen to it sometimes. It lulls me to sleep. Or not. Anyway, and that's like Poppy, like daddy in Spanish, P-A-P-I... COXXX, right? And then you are Poppy...
Like the flower!
Like the flower that gets Dorothy high. Yeah. And then you only have one X in here.
I only have one X, keeping it simple
over
here.
It's a good double entendre, though.
Yeah. No, it actually came from my stripper name, which was Coclico. When I was working at the Lusty Lady.
Very nice.
And it was really hilarious because I would say my name and people like, what is your name? I was like, way too much for the Bunters. Bad name choice. And I was like, wait, like trying to be all classy and like saying Poppy in French, but really Poppy would just be fine. So got changed for porn. And yeah, it's really, I like it. I'm into it.
It's the California flower, too.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. What may have something to do with opium or may not. I'm not sure what that origin is, but
I never thought about that. That's really crazy. So yeah. So anyways, Poppy like the flower, Cox and like, you know, poppycock, like frivolous, ridiculous things.
Double entendre things.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think are great and sum me up really nicely.
Awesome. Yeah. So in addition to dancing at the Lusty Lady, you also are a pornographer and porn performer. Mm-hmm. And you're the creative director of a little/big film festival called Bike Smut.
Yes.
Which is going to be in its ninth year this
ninth
year?
Ninth year, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Yes.
And it's an internationally touring, independent, amateur film festival where the submissions just have to have something to do with bicycles.
Bikes and sex.
And something to do with sex.
Yeah.
So, tell for the people who have not yet encountered Bike Smut, tell us all about it.
Well, 9 years. This will be our ninth year, so currently touring the eighth year. Ask me a question about it.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, so sorry. Yeah, you were about
I'm like, it's everything and nothing.
Don't you have, like, sound bites? So one of the things that is really interesting to me about it is that... that I noticed about it when I first became aware of it was the emphasis on the films are only shown as part of the festival, so there's no DVDs and the films aren't released online, so it's kind of an interesting way for people to, and there are other festivals like that as well, I think, maybe not have been around for as long.
Hump is the one we get compared with the most, which is the Stranger in Seattle, Dan Savage's sort of founded it and made a big deal about you can be a porn star for just tonight and not forever. And then
they
do like a ton of screenings all over the Northwest, but then at the final screening make a big point of like smashing the DVDs on stage. Right.
Cute.
So, which we just have to, people trust us, but no leaks in eight and a half years. So we're doing pretty good. Just, and then of course the filmmakers themselves can do whatever they want with,
right,
with their movie. It's just we will not put it online or make sure people don't film it, but you know, audiences are really respectful overall.
That's great.
So, which is great. Yeah
yeah, it's interesting because it seems that it's a chance for people to experience the exhibitionism and the creativity and the sort of communal sexual expression without as much of the stigma of doing commercial porn, which is a cool opportunity for people. Maybe it seems like more people who are involved in that than they might think twice about judging sex workers. Like, that's kind of what makes me think of.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. It's... And it's mostly just so that we can, I mean, okay, yeah, because it started more in the bike scene than in the sort of queer porny scene.
Right, like I was saying that I definitely first heard about it living on the West Coast as like a sexy bike thing, but then once I met you, which was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, when you had been involved, I was like, oh, it's sort of more like the sex is more foregrounded now, and the bikes are just the style.
Right, no, but the first one was just a bunch of bikers in Portland just, like, got, I guess Reverend Phil was doing, like, different series of screenings and, like, had done different things. Like, I think he had maybe just done violence, like, and asked cyclists to sort of make short films within this theme, and then did the sexuality one and, like, sold out the Clinton Street Theater multiple times, like, at, like, everyone, I just have sex! Because we're all obsessed. And then was like, oh, maybe I should do this some more.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah. But it's definitely, yeah, started from the bikers, which, Yeah, you know, we've had, like, school teachers or people with government jobs, and they love riding bikes, and it's so great that they are working in the government and trying to get better bike lanes everywhere, and they are also sexual people, and they should be able to express themselves, but also not put their career in jeopardy. So,
totally.
It's really nice. And then, but really, I mean, the main point now is how we just, we find that it's really important to bring people together to watch porn together with their friends or people that they don't know yet, because really the only time we're watching porn, like, maybe not us, maybe not all of San Francisco.
Putting us aside. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people watch porn really late at night by themselves on the internet.
Or on the afternoon.
Or in the afternoon, yeah, yeah.
But no, I see your point that people watch it by themselves, maybe furtively, maybe they're sort of really wrapped up in the guilt or the hiding it, or they're so used to having to hide it. So being able to watch porn with a group of people is, it's kind of radical day and age.
Well, and so... The thing about the definition of obscenity is there's not actually a definition.
Right.
It's a community standard. So then the thing is, if we're all like hiding in our rooms watching the porn and not talking about it, then you're going to just sort of like keep the status quo definition of what obscenity is, like, right, at the same place. Whereas when you get a bunch of people together, I'm like, then people can be like, that was weird. That's definitely obscene. Or like, that wasn't as weird as I thought it was going to be. And like, and you just get people talking, and I don't know, it's just, yeah, it's really nice. And that's why I think it's really important that it remains in the format that it is done in now. Like, cause so like people want a DVD of Bike Smut so bad, like so bad. And we could probably make a lot of money if we did it that way. It's a lot more expensive to travel to places and put on screenings and try and get people to leave their house and come and watch porn. But like, it feels better. And like, yeah. I think it's the best way to watch it. And then bikes.
So we're gonna talk today about why are people into bikes? So your hashtag, when you tweeted earlier about us meeting up, you used the hashtag bikesexual,
yes,
which is of course a funny pun on bisexual. And I was thinking about it, and I was realizing I'm totally bikesexual, but I don't even know if I have a good explanation for why. So I'd love to hear what do you
it just spoke to me. I was like, that's me.
And obviously, you know, there's two bicycles hanging up in my apartment. I have a bicycle tattoo. Like,
and this is why I knew it would be perfect to talk to you about this. You also have two Bike Smut stickers on your one bike, I saw.
Yes.
Yes.
Totally.
Okay. Those are one of the things you get when you come to a screening, is you get to buy sweet stickers for your bike.
Amazing.
Bonuses all around.
So what... is a bikesexual?
See, I identified as a bikesexual before I knew anything about Bike Smut, which, I started riding a bike, like, all the time, mostly because I met this really hot guy, was super into bikes, and he's like, why don't you ride a bike? I lived in London at the time, and it was always like, I really want to, I'm so scared, which was huge, and, he said to me, he's like, you know, you're legally allowed to take the lane. So if you're in the middle of the lane, they're going to see you. Like, they might honk, but they're going to see you and no one's going to hit you. Just like, take the lane, ride in the lane. And like, took me for a few bike rides and I was like, this is amazing. I like totally converted me. And like that moment, like just everyone on a bike I was checking out. Like, I just, like, was no longer interested in anyone who didn't ride a bike.
Yeah.
And then there's definitely this point where I was, like, in this bar, and this guy was, like, hitting on me. I'm like, okay. And then, like, he's talking about how he has, like, 5 bikes at home, and I'm, like, immediately much more interested. I'm just like, okay. And then moved to California, and I was living with this guy who used this term, bikesexual, and I was, like, that's totally me. I don't really care what your gender is. but I really care if you ride a bike. Because, like, there's, like, you know, like, if you're at a bar and you meet someone, like, there's always that awkward moment, like, you want to go home together, but if they don't ride a bike, too, like, what, they're going to take the train, you meet them at their house? Like, it just kind of, like, completely ruins the moment.
I've totally biked home while the person I was going home with got in a cab, and, like, I was like, I'll see you there. Yeah. So you just enjoy your $30 cab ride,
yeah,
and you can watch my ass pumping the whole way there.
Totally. And then bikes came later, but it's always been, yeah, this term that's really stuck with me. And I think when we talk about people, you haven't asked, there's like so many questions that get asked to me all the time, like, bike smut, oh, what is that? And I explain it, and they're like, but what is it really? And I'm like, how many ways can I say this to you? I'm like, short films, bikes and sex, like, and then the next one that comes up is, but why bikes? And it's like, I'm like, well, have you ever ridden a bike? Like, and if you just make people think about it for, like, a little bit longer, it becomes really not strange at all. Like, you're moving under your own power, which is just really sexy.
And totally.
One of the reasons why transportation is sexy, because it's really sexy to be able to move more places faster, you know, right?
Yes.
Which is why people have car obsessions too.
Very good. That's a good point.
Right? It's an evolutionary thing.
I mean, the history of rock and roll is the history of songs about girls and cars, right?
Yeah. Totally. So, and it's definitely, like, related to evolution, and I think being able to, like, either get away faster or, like, catch things faster, it's something, like, deeply ingrained in us, but, like...
So you're saying that bikes are sexy because you can get away from predators faster?
Not quite.
That's kind of true.
But there's something in there. There's something, like, deep and evolutionary in there. Hey, let's start at the beginning here.
Yes, please. A very good start.
Bikes were invented in the mid late 1800s. And
oh
then,
my God, you're historying me right now.
Right,
I'm so
right.
excited.
And
I'm
then
so excited.
Became the safety bike came out in like 1885, 1890. Not sure, Wikipedia that part. But turn of the century, really big deal. First thing that happens is, so there's, like, these villages, and, like, you'd be pretty limited to who you could fuck, depending on, like, who was in walking distance.
Totally.
Right? And then all of a sudden you can go, whatever, like, 5 times faster by bike and go, like, 5 times further, and, like, your gene pool just opened up huge, and it was real. This is so real, though.
Totally,
it was
real.
Like, suddenly, like, think about all those, like, miserable boys and girls are like, I'm so bored of these dudes in my town. Like, you think small towns are bad now, but, like, back then you're, like, really limited for, like, who you're gonna make babies with.
And like, also it probably prevented people from breeding incestuously.
Right, yeah, but, like, the bike saved all of this. It was the answer to everything. So, like, that one was huge and, like, definitely directly related to sexuality. And then women riding bicycles was, like, huge. And, extremely integral for the feminist movement, which was in the suffragette phase at the time. Susan B. Anthony said that the bicycle was the most important and influential tool for the liberation of women. There's a great quote of her.
I mean, I can't think of anything sexier than the liberation of women.
Yeah. No, like, and
no, I'm not being ironic.
No, it's really true. And I think even now today, give a girl a bike and you will completely change her life because you just have to rely on some dude to, like, ride you around in a carriage, like, and then all of a sudden, like, I've got legs.
It also, it reminds me actually of a roommate that I had once who was just like, who was great, but like maybe just a little bit more, normy, than I was used to. And, we were both single and dating, and she would talk about how she was making all these decisions about which guys she wanted to date on OkCupid based on whether or not they had offered to come pick her up in their car. And I was just thinking about how, like, I would go to dates on my bike, and then if I was uninterested, then I would get on my bike and get the fuck out of there. And she would be like, she felt like she had to be very sure about the guy because she's essentially trapped. I mean, obviously, one can get on public transportation, call a friend, take a cab. But you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, totally.
Yeah, so that kind of liberation, I mean, it really makes sense.
No, totally. I always know that a night has gone terribly wrong if someone's convinced me that I should leave my bike somewhere and, like, and go, like, you know, like, a big group of people, and they're like, just get in the cab, and you're like, no, I never leave my bike, and, like, sometimes bad drunk decisions, and then in the morning you're like, that was the worst idea ever. You always, always, always ride your bike, because then you can always, always leave, and it's, yeah, it's great. It's really great. So, yeah, okay, and then There was a lot of controversial writing about if it was okay for women to ride bikes or not. There was, like, whole different sects of men. Like, some men were, like, super into it, thought it was really healthy and great, and other men thought it was the absolute downfall of women, right? There's and then bloomers, like, women wear pants today because of the bicycle.
Wow.
That was why they got blue.
Pants are sexy.
And awesome skirts are also awesome.
Obviously.
But it's always nice to have choice.
Yes.
And before you didn't have a choice, and now you do. So.
Wow.
So, all of those things combined really put bikes and sexuality right there in the beginning. Oh, there's also a thing about couples, because couples used to have to be chaperoned. Right, but then they would go on these, like, big group outings, and because they were so mobile with their bicycles, they would, like, go off alone together, and it was kind of the first time, like, young couples were alone before they got married, basically. So, premarital sex as well, yes!
So sexy.
So, historically, yes, and then, I guess, physically, let's talk physicality.
Oh yeah, let's get vulgar.
The saddle.
The butt.
The butt.
On the I was watching, for research, some of the videos that are up on, is it bikesmut.com?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that's like Slut Love, Bike Love. That's the first one on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of just like this punk rock music video of all of these, like this like
super
girl gang.
Ratchets.
I mean, it's okay, so first of all, that's total porno to me, even though there's nothing hardcore or graphic or explicit in that, because it's just, like, fucking hot babes in leather jackets grinding their shorts on their bike seats, and
they're Danish, too, if that makes
sense.
Yeah,
right, Copenhagen, right? Yeah, that does. It does, yes.
Yes.
And, like, throwing their bikes over chain-link fences and hopping the fence and, like, switchblades and then, like, putting, like, grease on as lip gloss.
Yes.
Yeah.
And still with really good nails.
Oh, yeah. That's what you mean.
Hello.
Yes.
It's, like, the epitome of hard femme.
Yes. Like I said, total porno.
Yeah.
I'm putting that one in the spank bank.
That's Sarah Armstrong. It was from year number 6, and she was fine with, she put it online, and so then we're like, okay, you put it online, we'll link to that. From Copenhagen. Also, rad fact about hers, for those of you who are familiar with Kembra Fowler of The Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black, which is one of my favorite performance artists, if you haven't heard of her, check her out.
Totally amazing.
Sarah came over and got to work with her and dance for her for a bit as well. So she has another rad connection. So yeah, awesome director. I really hope she makes us another movie, because that one was really cool.
That one was really good. I would love to be in a movie like that. That's just like, pastiche, like, attitude. It's just, like, all fucking attitude. Okay, so, butts in the air.
Butts in the air!
Obviously, there's the whole thing where, depending on how sensitive you are, one could totally rub one out on one's bicycle seat.
Possibly.
In mythology. Yeah.
Saddle sniffing. Definitely a thing.
Yeah. Oh. And of course, parts of the bike are very phallic. I had a friend, oh my god, I hadn't even thought, I took notes before this, but I was like, I know a bunch of stuff is gonna come up. I have a friend who built her own bike, and she decided, because she's just this kind of girl, that she would fuck herself with every piece of the bike before she put it together. And, so she did.
She's awesome. Why didn't she make a movie? That would be the hottest movie ever. Can we recreate it?
Do you have any, are there any movies of people fucking themselves with, like, tubes? And
there was, yes, a German guy 2 years ago had a sort of, it was almost like a dick torture, but self-dick torture, him and his bicycle. And
the spokes, like the
spokes, the chain, just wow, it was amazing. And then also, like, no sound, cut all the sound, which was the most genius thing ever, because, like, everyone's like, oh, there's all music and, like, sound and all the other movies, and then, like, you put this one in a completely silent, and, like, and then, like, as the realization of what's going on comes over the audience, you just, like, ugh. Like, in really great shows, you get the whole audience going crazy by the end, but you, like, doesn't hurt himself, still gets a hard on and comes, and
CBT is a very real thing.
Real.
And I don't see any reason not to use bike parts to do it, so.
And, like, and it's, you know, and it's just nice because he's doing it to himself, so there's no question about if it's consensual or not. It's like, no, he's really into this.
Sure.
He would stop if he wasn't. So, that was the close. And then the first year, we had this really hardcore one that, will go down in history. There was definitely some, like, it was supposed to be, like, a snuff film, but with bikes.
Whoa.
So the final scene is, like, the slicing of this gel saddle and then fucking the inside of the saddle.
So it was a snuff film, like, the bike was being
killed?
Yeah,
the bike was being killed.
Destroyed.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so they fucked the saddle.
Yeah. And then there's the bike that's in the Museum of Sex here.
Yes.
Which was, I forget their names. But they, they made this piece, this bike that someone rides, and then that energy gets translated from rotational energy to back and forth energy, and there's a dildo on one end. And so they made the absolutely beautiful film. It was in year number 5. It was made here in New York. And that beautiful. And then now the Museum of Sex, I think it's in their permanent collection.
It's in the window, yeah. And actually, there was a New York Magazine article about Wayne Coyne from the Flaming Lips a few years ago, and in it, they went to the Museum of Sex, and he rode the dildo bike, actually. So
when I
think of the dildo bike, I definitely think of Wayne Coyne on it.
Wait, as in the really hot lead singer?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, my God, that makes me so happy.
I'll send you the article. Because you can totally imagine him, like, walking in there and being like, I'm gonna get on that.
That's so awesome. I saw them play live. I didn't realize how hot he had gotten.
Yeah, he aged really well.
So well. Yeah. And then also we were talking about karaoke earlier. The The She Don't Use Jelly is one of my karaoke standards.
It's a great one.
Really so good. So yeah, thank you. I really need to see that article.
It does seem like there's several different kinds of films that end up at Bike Smut. There are ones that kind of get creative with sort of fetishizing bikes or bike parts in different ways, and some where people make contraptions, fucking machines, CBT, torture devices. And then there are ones that sort of take advantage of just how hot people are who ride bikes, and just sort of like at bike attitude and culture and lifestyle. And then there are ones that sort of have like a bicycle as part of the action, or part of the character, or part of the like people are fucking and then they get on their bikes and ride away, or they like, isn't it, is it the one, I feel like I've seen one of you like riding your bike to a field and then like laying down and putting the bike on top of you and masturbating.
That was my first movie.
Yeah, I was like, I think that was you, right?
Yeah. And that one like made the rounds in a bunch of other film festivals as well.
You look really hot in that movie.
Thanks. We just got stuck in Katerini, Greece for a day because we were on our big European tour. We went from Ankara, Turkey, all the way to Edinburgh, Scotland. Like, that was kind of the most outlying cities of that tour, but it was 23 countries.
Wow.
And 63 shows in 6 months. So it was pretty intense. And sort of towards the beginning-ish, the first third, we got stuck in Katerini, Greece, because the van broke down for the weekend. We missed the Slovenian downhill championships because of it, which was a real shame. but instead, I made that movie. It was lots of fun. I had lots of like more like grand ideas for films, but I just get dressed up for my bike. I leave my like my lame dude, Reverend Phil, quote-unquote, the man in the bed. It was, like, just snoring away, and I'm, like, thinking about riding my bike and how sexy that is. And then, like, just, like, get really dressed up and ride my bike into a field and then masturbate.
It's kind of like you're on a date with your bike.
Yeah, exactly.
You're kind of like, this guy's boring, yeah. My bike is there for me, yeah. My bike excites me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so, hella cute.
Thanks. And also, I was, because before that, there weren't, like, it was, like, graphic, but not graphic, and I just really wanted to, like, have a lot more cunt shots. Yeah. Like, that was, like, I felt like we were lacking that, so I had a cunt I could provide. And actually, that was one of the things, it showed with Hump, and I met when I was stripping in Portland, this girl had seen it, and she got so excited, and she was like, there's all these, like, sort of, like, yeah, it's graphic, but, like, as far as, like, women, it's like, there was no women who just, like, wanted to just show their vag, like, up close and personal, and it was just, like, so refreshing, like, you just, like, bam, there it is, still makes sense for the story. I mean, I like masturbating, but, you know, and, like, with, anyways, I still really like that piece, and it felt really good, and I had a great orgasm in a field. I'm so not an outdoorsy person at all. The only time I'm interested in the outdoors ever is if I'm going to have sex in it. Yeah, it's like, so fun fact about me.
I was camping this one time, and I was hooking up with someone, and she was like, I've never had sex outside before. And I was like, what?
What? What?
I've, like, forgotten all the times I've had sex inside. Like, the only time I ever seem to remember it is when it's outside.
When it's outside, yeah, totally.
And I've also seen another one, I think it has Jesse Sparkles in it, that has,
Bike Wizard!
The Bike Wizard! That's right! Help me remember the plot of that one.
Okay, the Bike Wizard, I think, he put that on Queer Porn Tube.
Right.
So you could also watch that. The Bike Wizard is like a parody of a terrible porno with a ridiculous storyline.
Right.
About some kids who can't seem to put the fenders on their bike. It looks like they're trying really hard.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And they ask for a bike wizard, and then sexy, sexy bike wizard shows up and then sort of instigates a threesome. There's right. some pegging in it, which is right. great.
And then there's bike tire bondage, isn't
there? There's some bike tire bondage. There's like a lot of explicit consent.
Or bike tube, I should say. Bike, yeah, not tires.
Bike
yeah.
tubes. Will you tie me up with those bike tubes? I'd love to. And my other favorite fun fact about this is we were going to France as part of our tour. And so I got everything translated and subtitled.
Nice.
Which was great. And I didn't know that how you said magic wand or staff in French is baguette magique, which I is like, I know that baguette just means stick, but like, just when you think about a sparkly bread baguette being waved around, it brings me so much joy.
Oh my god, me too.
Yeah, so
that's my new thing.
Baguette magique. So yeah, you should check that out online.
Is it called Bike Wizard?
The Bike Wizard, it's pretty easy to find, and people really, really like it.
Yeah.
It's intense. It's also got some really intense, like, Jesse is an excellent top. He's also an excellent bottom. Jesse is pretty much, like, as far as, like, cis men go, like, fucking kills it at the porno and at just, like, having, like, just, like, a dick that's, like, always ready for, like, pretty much anything. Like,
that's what you want.
Totally. Really magical to work with. But like, I think that it's interesting how, despite there being like a ton of explicit consent in that, and the fact that Jesse is pegged by the girl in it, like, immediately before, but then like is such a good, like, dirty dom. Like, I have a lot of girls, like, come up to me afterwards and are, like, extremely concerned. Like, and I'm like, but she said, will you please tie me up with those bike tubes, like, multiple times. Like, I'm like, and then for a side-by-side comparison, like, we had this other amazing porn called Derailed, which was directed by Creamy Coconut and had Sebastian Keys in it, who shoots with Kink, right?
Also amazing. And it's also great dumb, great bottom, great dick up for anything.
Oh, yes. and Quinn Cassidy and Creamy Coconut co-directed.
Oh, right? Quinn's my boy.
Quinn's wonderful, and I said,
oh, I know, I've seen this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, so it's really interesting the way we just can't seem to get very many gay male pornos going. Like, I like lesbians coming out of every orifice, but, like, cannot get, like, two dicks on screen at once. It's like, which is fine, but also, like, I'm just, like, trying to mix it up and, like, you know, I really want to cater to everybody's sexuality, and I also really want to make people feel uncomfortable by exposing them to sexuality that they wouldn't necessarily watch. I'm like, if you've got a room full of, like, straight biker dudes, doodly dudes, like, it's great if you're just showing them a bunch of lesbian porn, but, like, what I really want is to show them, like, loads of gay and loads of trans porn, so they, because...
Not to mention lots and lots of CBT.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think maybe their, like, porn selection could be mixed up a bit.
Absolutely.
And they're not going to do it themselves in the middle of the night on the internet,
no,
so...
No, and nor should they, you know, everyone should... Watch what they want to watch to get off, but if you, but yeah,
but
no,
it's
making
nice.
Them, no, making people, yeah, no, poppycocks, you're all right.
You never know, you might like it.
Surprise boner!
Exactly.
Oh, anyways, I was just the bite, it was Italian steel frame, so I that was what it was.
Yeah. So I said to Quinn, you're the one who can do it.
That's, you know, and if anybody can do it, it's totally Quinn
and
Cassidy. Yeah,
Quinn
that's right.
Delivered amazingly well. Great performances. But this is like two guys, and once again, Sebastian, also an amazing top, and he is super, super dirty to his bottom as well. I'm like, no one has a problem with that.
But
the girl, like, and there's not nearly as much, like, there's a bit of explicit consent, but, like, compared to the bike wizard, she asked for it multiple times. and there was no, like, switching of top and bottom. Like this girl, like, pegs him in the ass and then, like, asks to be tied up. And then, whereas, like, in the other one, like, the boy comes in and just gets top to shit and comes and then has to eat his own cum off the floor and everyone, like, I don't know. Anyway, so
he gets to
yeah. Had a great time doing it. Beautiful. But I just think it's really interesting, that contrast. And then but then I get to have those conversations, and also just the fact that Sebastian they were not partners,
right.
You know, and the people shooting the other one were partners. Mm. And like,
so, you know, interesting.
Like, it's weird how people want to have problems with stuff. But anyway, so that's why it's important to watch porn in public again.
Yeah. 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 And that one also kind of takes advantage of the sort of classic power dynamic of the mechanic versus the person who's coming in and saying, I don't know what's going on with my butt. Why does it keep deflating? I don't know if that's actual dialogue, but that's just what I'm making. Let me show you, like, get that wrench for me.
No, so the script for that actually was, like, Quinn did great research and was, like, watching YouTube videos on how to fix a derailleur and wrote the script. And, like, okay, I think if you're a bike mechanic, there's like a few flaws, like uses the wrong wrench at some point, it was something like this, but like in general,
yeah,
like pretty spot on.
Oh, there's that other one on your website that's like sexy bike mechanic videos, that
the more like sort of mainstream, like swish,
yeah it's like high production value, like, but also like lots of double entendres, like,
yeah.
Grease the, you know, yeah, there's
just
lots of
grease it,
insert it. Yeah, yeah.
That's from Italy, from Milan. They are also really, really awesome down there. So many friends all over the world.
So amazing.
So anyways, bikes.
So what else? So it's so interesting because it seems like, in a way, it's the bikes themselves that are sexy. And some people are definitely taking it there with the fetishizing of the object of the bike mm-hmm. itself. But it also seems like it really just has to do with what it implies about somebody's lifestyle and ideology
personality, yeah.
And and also, I mean, you know, presumably one has really sexy leg muscles when one is, especially.
That also helps.
Yeah. I mean,
and good cardio.
Good cardio, yeah. Good strong heart.
Yeah, exactly. It's all things you want in a partner. I think for me, personally, like, hooking up with people who ride bikes is just a really good way to vet people.
Yeah.
Because it's still not a very big percentage of the population that rides their bike every day, all of the time.
Yeah.
And I do. I don't know if I would ride it. It's real cold in New York, by the way.
Yeah.
Although, might ride my bike in it.
It's scary. I mean, I rode my bike in the Bay Area for 10 years, and, you know, that's, like, nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. No.
But in Manhattan, I kind of feel like no matter what street I'm on, I'm, like, riding my bike on the freeway.
Oh, yeah. I used to call them avenues of death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just kind of like, I love my bike, but I also love not being street pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is not, even if I am going to go on my bike, I want it to be, like, on some sort of glorious, I don't know, somewhere. And anyway, this is morbid and not sexy at all, But
so people who ride bikes are, like, going against the grain. Like, I think totally. We can all say that for sure. Like, you're right, like... Yeah. Something's already a little bit like, okay, this person's gonna, like, into taking risks to a certain extent. Even if you're, like, a really safe biker, it's still, like, I'm taking a risk by not following the, I'm getting a car and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Especially in America. I think maybe it's a little bit different in Europe. But, like, I'm sorry, Americans, do not think for a second that that Europe is just this, like, utopia of, like, awesome bikiness. I just want to mention this because I think it's misrepresented, but, like, Amsterdam was not a bike city at all, really, until the 70s, when people got out on the street and protested and said, stop killing the children, basically, because they were, like, going to put in all these big roads and blah, blah, blah. People took to the street and they protested, and that is why Amsterdam looks like it does today. So, like,
amazing.
If you want LA to look like Amsterdam, like, get on the streets, ride your bike, and demand your rights, basically, as a cyclist, because you have every right to be on the road as much as any car does, and... Like, I like to see two sides to most things, but it's, like, as far as, like, cars and bikes go, I'm, like, never.
Yeah.
Like, I am the one who is riding my bike.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And burning off all of the bagels that I ate to get my ass around rather than burning up all of the fossil fuel. So, and I don't care if you have a Prius. Like, a bike is still different. So, like, ride your bike as much as you can, because even... If you don't ride your bike all the time, it's still better than no times. And the more people riding bikes, the safer the roads will be.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. And it actually, now that you're sort of bringing up a little bit more of the social politics of it, which also gets me very fired up, it makes me think about how people are victim blaming about cyclists in accidents, much in the same way that people are victim blaming of people who are victims of sexual assault.
I've said this so many times before. I'm like, this is a really sad way to connect bikes and sexuality, but it's true. Like, were they wearing a helmet?
Yeah, exactly.
Was she wearing a short skirt? Like, hello? It's the exact same thing. It's like... the 10-ton truck rode her over, didn't touch the head, just smashed them to pieces. Like, what does the helmet have to do with anything? Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. And, like, wear a helmet if it makes you feel safe, but also, like, you don't have to wear a helmet because you're much more likely to get a head injury driving a car or walking down the street. So that is the truth.
Let's just, like, well, but helmets are
helmets
sexy.
Are great.
Helmets
but
are very helmets sexy.
I think people should wear helmets when they want to wear helmets, but I definitely think there should be no laws put in place saying that cyclists have to wear helmets until they say car drivers have to wear helmets too, because that it's the same. It's the same. Like, it's also dangerous.
That
for
would
your
be
head.
That would be amazing.
That would be really sweet.
To wear a helmet
I like
car.
Cars terrify me. I feel like I really want to put on a helmet when I get in a car. I'm like, whereas on my bike, I feel a lot safer personally. But yeah, and I mean, just the thing with helmet laws is you put in a helmet law and you just I don't like there was like a 75% drop in cyclists in Australia when they put the helmet law in.
And oh, shit.
Right? And so, like, okay, so by losing that 75% of cyclists, you are actually making the 25% less be in more danger despite the helmet that they're wearing, then there's more cars on the street and less cyclists and less
visibility.
And
people see it as an annoyance rather than something that is just an ordinary part of the civic experience.
Yeah, totally, totally.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I've also, it actually reminds me of, I cannot remember where I heard this, but, someone comparing, being a cyclist to, like, being a cyclist in a city that is dominated by cars, to being a woman or another kind of marginalized group, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there was a really great, I think it was a comic, maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you want to see what it feels like to be a woman in a city, if you're not already, then yeah, get on a bike. It feels really similar.
It's like, you're like, okay, the roads are here, and people are like, here's the road, you're allowed to ride on it, except you constantly have to kind of be like, gah, ugh, gah, and then, you know, maybe eventually you, like, kind of get into this, like, badass concentration mode, like, every time you get on your bike, and it, like, makes you feel good, but that doesn't mean that you don't have these, like, totally traumatizing brushes with violence every day, and then people blaming you for just doing a thing that you're allowed to be doing, and
and then
you're in a car and you're in a car and you're like, oh, well, this is really great, I don't understand, like, why this is so, what's your problem?
Compounding that by being a woman on a bicycle. I was actually talking about this. We were, like, three women, but, like, I had one friend who was, like, much taller and butcher.
Mm.
And, like, and then me, very feminine, my very short femme friend, like, being, like, so frustrated by the way, basically, like, because I will take the lane and I will demand respect. And I live in Berlin, and I live in a very Turkish and Middle Eastern neighborhood, which is, like, awesome, but also, like, the drivers are really terrible a lot of the time, and not only get disrespected as, like, a valid road user, I also, like, I was taking the lane, taking a left, and this guy just starts to roll his car forward towards me, and I,
just
like,
to intimidate you.
Yeah, like, because I was, like, in his way, because he was also taking a left, but, like, I was there, like, I'm like, we're all taking a left, right? And then I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, get out of the way. I'm like, no, I'm taking, and this is, like, half German, half English, which is even funnier. And then he turns to the guy next to me on his bike and is basically like, does she belong to you? Basically, like, that was like, you talk to her, because she's, what is this, this woman's talking? This woman on a bike is talking? Like, yeah. And luckily the dude was, like, cool and was like, no, she's allowed to be there. She's allowed to be there. She's allowed to be there. But, like, I'm just like, that, what century are we in?
You know what pisses me off is in California, where you can turn right on a red,
mm-hmm.
In a bike or in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I am on my bike and I'm in the right lane and I'm going forward and the car behind me is turning right and I'm stopped and they can't get past me to turn right and they start honking and first of all, I'm allowed to be there. If I was a car, like, sometimes you're just shit out of luck. You want to turn right, but the car in front of you is going straight forward.
Yeah.
So you just need to wait.
Just wait
for 30 seconds. Turn the radio. Look out the window. Take a deep breath instead of being an asshole.
Yeah.
Totally. And
I've definitely been there before.
People don't think.
Like, okay, then I'm going to move into the other lane so you can get by and then piss off the other driver who's like, you should be in the right lane. And just like, okay.
Also, I'm not doing that. I'm on a bike. Yeah. You're in a 3-ton killing machine.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I don't have to do that. Anyway, so obviously all of this bitching demonstrates how sexy cycling is because it makes you fucking ferocious, mm-hmm. and it teaches you to to stand up for yourself in situations that require a hell of a lot of nerve.
Yeah, totally.
It teaches you to look death in the face and laugh.
Yeah, yeah. Which is all extremely sexy. And extremely important. I don't know, I think I might, like, also compare it to, like, yeah, sort of, like, taking agency the way, like, I was, I feel like, when I was just a recreational slut.
I mean, I definitely thought you were going to say recreational cyclist.
No, no.
So.
No, we're going back to sex.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha. When you're a recreational slut, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. Like, I was pretty good at, like, taking agency and advocating for myself. But, like, then when I started becoming more of a professional slut, I really, like, took that to the sort of the next level of, like, advocating for myself. And, like, and I think cycling's kind of the same way. Like, oh, right, like, I have to advocate for myself on the streets all the time because no one's going to do it for me, which just means I'm better at it in life in general.
Totally.
Right? You know?
Yeah, you're like, these are my personal boundaries, these are my rights, this is what I'm entitled to, back the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's the other comparison, which is, you know, cars are kind of like men. They will take as much as they can until you tell them to fuck off, which means that I do a lot of screaming on the street. And I don't want to, and I don't want to stereotype all straight cis men.
Motorists.
Or all motorists. Of course not. But you know, generalizations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. They're fine.
They're fine. They're fine.
They can handle it.
They have a lot of privilege.
They can handle it. They have the men's rights activists really giving them a great time.
They're having a great time.
Yeah. Shit. I was thinking of it's so funny how many things I'm thinking of, the connection between sex and bikes. So, now, this is not meant to be disrespectful in any way to people's lifestyle choices or religious beliefs or ethnic traditions. There are many communities of Hasidim in Brooklyn.
I've ridden through those on my bike before.
Yes, and there was apparently a huge civic battle some years back in East Williamsburg, which is a Hasidic neighborhood, where there's a bike lane. I think it's Bedford that this happened on.
Yep. There's two, like, because they're two one ways, so it's like one goes down, one goes up.
Right. Bedford's the one that goes north. I believe.
Yeah.
If I'm not remembering incorrectly. Often. Cyclists of all genders are passing through this neighborhood on their way to the Williamsburg Bridge to go into Manhattan, or on their way to Williamsburg, on their way to
downtown Brooklyn,
or anywhere they want to go, because it's a free country.
Yeah.
And they were in the summertime when it gets very hot in New York,
very hot.
There were women cycling through this neighborhood on their bikes. Wearing very little, and, you know, I mean, I think there's probably something about the vulgarity of the booty shorts in the air, or, you know, of just the women being fast, right? Fast women, all these things we're talking about, like, their own agency, moving of their own accord, not, like, shuffling down the street, staring at the ground, the Hasidic community was complaining and trying to get the bike lanes changed out of their neighborhood because, you know, what, all sorts of horrible things could happen because women do what they want to do. Yeah.
To go places and anyway, get places in the comfort of, you know, 105 degree weather.
Yes. Yes. I have feelings about gender. Being a Jew, I'm fully allowed to express my feelings about the gender politics of the Orthodox. No disrespect, men, but it does seem absurd to censor people or to claim that your neighborhood needs to be free from the modern world in that way.
Yes.
Like, people should be free to make their own choices about how they live their lives, but,
They live their lives there, and then some people cycle through it in shorts.
Yeah.
And that should be fine. I was one of those people. I lived in New York for, like, 6 months, and I cycled, and it was very, very hot, and I don't even know how I, like, cycled over the Williamsburg Bridge so many times in so many clothes, and there was still so little. It was, like, from the West Coast, it does not get that hot over there. But, I had to go from Greenpoint to downtown often.
Yeah.
And was, like, it was just, like, the violence at which the minivans would,
right,
like, a double park, use the bike lane as a double parking lane, and then also just, like, cut you off to double park in the bike lane. And I'm just like, really? Oh, okay. So, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
And there was a really shitty, guy, the GoPro of the guy in the minivan being really aggressive to this cyclist, and the cyclist had a GoPro on their helmet, and that blew up on the internet as well. And just like, just yeah, what you have to do, like, yeah, give a cyclist a break. You gotta deal with a lot of stuff out there, and cyclists are better than you because they're not driving a car.
They're just jealous. They're just jealous. They wish that they could. They wish that their IT bands were that limber.
Yeah.
Well, in conclusion, I just have to say, I mean, I always it's also really nice when you meet somebody that you know rides a bike because you know they're not going to be uptight about the way that you smell.
Right. Totally.
It's going to be like, well, we're both going to break a sweat.
Yeah.
So.
That's going to be hot. I know. And sweat is really sexy smelling.
Yes, it is.
It's really good.
Especially like outdoor, like getting places on your own accord, sweat, not like, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, you're just bringing it again.
Yeah. And I guess speaking of like limber hips and bulging thighs and the sweat of exertion from the hills and bringing your bikes up 5-floor walk-ups and, you know, hoisting it on your shoulder and, you know, the core strength and being able to sit up and not, you know, to ride without bending over the handlebars and the quick reflexes of having to deal with staring death in the face and all of that stuff and what it does to your butt. I mean, I mean, after a good bike ride, I'm like, I mean, I'm usually ready to go, but after a good bike ride, I'm like, I'm ready to rock.
No, totally. And then, okay, then one more connection. Trust.
There you go.
Is very important.
You mean like on a tandem, like a bicycle built for two?
That's next level trust. I'm not even ready for tandem. I tried once. It was bad. Obviously more of a control freak than I thought I was.
You're like, I'm going back to unicycle.
No, but no, the trust between you and your bicycle.
Oh.
Right, is like when you have your bike that and you're riding it every day, you can like feel immediately the slightest change to it.
It's and, your like, steed.
Yeah, and like and so you really and you know you like trust the bike to not drive you under a bus and the bus then the bike trusts you to like look after it and it's like it's this. I my bikes are special things to me, and I don't think you ever get that element of trust with any other sort of inanimate object.
Yeah,
I agree. In a car, it's all very removed. You know, I mean, you might know how to work on cars, but it's like, you know, it's all like outside of around and around you, not like so in you. And then like you know, like sex toys are awesome, but I don't. You definitely don't have to worry about your dildo running you under a bus. if it's not tuned up quite right. So, so yeah, I think that would be my final thought on really why white bikes are so special and sexy.
Well, that is a very good note to leave things on. I hope everybody is going to just drive their cars to the junkyard and get themselves a new... You could sell it, I guess. Just, like, imagining, like, in that REM video, everybody hurts, everyone gets out of their cars.
Well, we should remake that and just have everyone take off on bikes instead.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. Doesn't the money fall in that one?
Or is that
a different video?
No, yeah, I think that the traffic is happening because somebody is standing on the bridge throwing money.
Oh, so they're throwing bicycles instead. Got it. Okay, no, and then we need to talk about submissions.
Oh, yeah. So for the 9th year of the Bike Smut Festival tour, submissions are open. Now, I'm not sure when this podcast is going to air, but do you know roughly what month?
May time is the due date, usually, and then premiere time is in June in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And this would be for the 9th year. The theme this year is science friction.
Love it.
But please feel free to do whatever you're inspired by. That is just a loose guideline.
Yeah.
We like films to be under 7 minutes, so we have enough time for all of the bike movies. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't love a 20-minute epic or anything. Editing is great. Keep it short and sweet, and you can send it to us, bikesmut@gmail.com. All of the info will be on the blog as soon as... This is unofficial at the moment, but maybe by the time podcast comes out, it will be officially call for entries time. And bikesmut.com, go to the blog. It's bikeporntour.blogspot.com is... And then you can find us on Tumblr, on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram now, like any social media disease you want, we are there. Very adaptable. And then I'm Miss Poppycox, at Miss Poppycox on Twitter and also Tumblr. So yeah, that's... Yes?
So, but the real question is, steel or aluminum?
Oh, steel all the way.
Steel all the way.
Steel is real.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming over and really talking about one of my favorite subjects. I mean, I honestly, I don't know if I've ever thought about it quite so much, but I think that I already knew that I was a bisexual, but now you've really explained to me why I am. So I hope you've converted a few of the listeners too.
Sweet. Yes, ride your bike.
Well, thanks, Poppy.
Thank you, Tina.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 28. Follow at Tina Horn's Ass and at Into That Podcast on the Twitter. Subscribe and write us a review if you're so inclined on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And visit whyarepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. Next month, Kevin Allison takes us on a tour of gay cruising in the 1990s.
And that part is so hot.
Oh, yeah. It's not, you know.
Even if the blowjob is mediocre, the, like, excitement of realizing, like, yes, this is happening right now in this park.
Because what it is that... You're a little bit like animals in the wild, right? You see each other, and you're trying...
Oh, hi!
Here's my cat, speaking of animals.
Are you cruising us?
You see each other, and there's a little bit of fear in both of your eyes.
So
as
exciting.
Well as a little bit of attraction, because you don't know if this might be a gay basher, for example. Or just someone who would have zero interest in you that you're about to approach, and they would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right, which could be embarrassing.
Right. So there's a manner of kind of lingering on each other's eyes and kind of creeping closer to each other, which was exactly what myself and this guy did. He was a good looker.
As ever, Why Are People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Pine. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and we are exclusively sponsored by Smitten Kitten. Until next time, I'll be making floggers out of bike tubes and selling them for $200 on Etsy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.